When one thinks of the deli, the sunny shores of Waikiki don't typically come to mind. But Boar's Head is anything but typical. Introducing our new bold Aloha Sunshine Turkey. Sweet, savory, and dare we say, tropical. Coated in a savory pineapple-flavored glaze, it's a taste of Polynesian paradise right at your deli. Bon appétit, bon voyage, and of course, aloha. Bold Aloha Sunshine Turkey. Available fresh from the deli and only from Boar's Head. Compromise elsewhere.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 0.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Star Wars fans, episode 79 of Tatooine Sons. The Sherlock Holmes of Star Wars is back with the release of Thrawn Treason next week. We'll dig into the excerpts that have been released and discuss our thoughts on the enigmatic character. Plus, we'll catch up on some hot takes and review.
Of course, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event is about exceptional offers, but it's also about the luxury of versatility and the freedom of a summer day coming together for you at the perfect moment.
Lease the 2019 NX300 all-wheel drive for $369 a month for 36 months with $2999 to its signing. Experience amazing at your New York, New Jersey, Connecticut Lexus dealer. Call 1-800-USA-LEXUS for important lease offer and pricing details. Not all customers will qualify. Offer valid in the Lexus Eastern area only and ends July 31st, 2019.
And maybe see if we can talk Mom into baking us a pie.
To defeat an enemy, you must know them.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true. All of it.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BBNA, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
I didn't have to come up with my chuta during the...
Yeah, but you should have just delivered it, man. You had it. So go! Come on, man!
Should have just done it.
Go, man, go! In the immortal words of Sally from Charlie from Peanuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, you gonna do it?
I was waiting for you.
I'm waiting for you to do it.
I was in the groove.
Just go.
Achuta Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you can't truly understand Western culture.
I see. You guys see what he did there? We're talking Thrawn, right?
Yeah.
And Thrawn is like all about understanding art and music and literature and history
culture.
And the culture, the stories of a culture to understand the people. And so, since we're talking about Thrawn, if you're not a Star Wars fan, you can't truly understand Western culture, which is actually very, very true.
It's very true. It's so integral in our culture. Yeah.
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
I threw a word at you in the intro today that you just struggled with during the prep for this show, didn't you?
I did.
Can you try to say it for us one more time?
I'm not enigmatic.
Say it again. You got it right this time.
Enigmatic.
Enigmatic.
There we go.
And he was trying so hard and he was so nervous when we did the intro that you could just see it in his face. And he got enigmatic out, I think, but it sounded like he forgot the whole S sound completely. But that's okay. It's a tough word.
I mean, we know you said just like say "and," but we didn't mean that literally.
Enigmatic
is what he ended up saying. Yeah, so that's all right. It's a good word, and it describes Thrawn. We'll talk about him in a little bit. All right. We should explain why we want Mom to make a pie.
Because she makes the best pie.
Well, she does make the best
pie. She
pies.
Does.
So Mom started a baking business this week for people. She's making like cookies and banana bread, and
pumpkin bread, pumpkin pie.
She sold 2 key lime pies today. And people that have gotten key lime pie from the Keys, which is sort of where it's named after, said it's the best key lime pie that they've ever had. Pretty flipping amazing.
It's a pretty good compliment.
It's why when I gave my review, we all did like reviews on Facebook for it. Did you see what I said?
No.
Yeah, I think her pies are amazing. All her baked goods are absolutely amazing. I'm a diabetic, which confirms this point. Like I've eaten too much. Anyway. So,
we get the joke.
Okay. Yeah. So I had an idea this weekend.
That's deep.
Well, we've talked about it before, but I sort of jumped into this idea full-fledged this weekend.
For real?
I started thinking about titles for stuff and all of that. So I had this idea of, The Onion or the Babylon Bee or some of these satire sites. And I know that there's a Star Wars one out. People have been telling me about it called Faking Star Wars, which, instead of making Star Wars, right, which is part of the network. But I wanted to keep it a little bit more family friendly than some of that and a little bit less edgy with it, but still fun with it. So we're thinking about like launching, and I want to get your guys, just all you listeners out there, I want to get your feedback on this idea. So you can like go to Twitter and Facebook and find us on there and give us your thoughts on it. But I'm thinking about like starting a satire type news site called the Tatooine Sun. Like,
S-U-N,
like newspapers that used to be named the Sun and that kind of thing. We used to have a newspaper here. Do you guys know when I was a kid in Colorado Springs, we had 2 newspapers in this town? We were a 2 newspaper town in Colorado Springs when I was a kid. Yeah. It was amazing. So you had the Colorado Springs Gazette, which we still have, and then we had the Colorado Springs Sun.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, the Tatooine Sun. And the first article idea that I came up with, I wanted to read on the intro.
The whole thing?
The whole article. Because you guys even haven't heard the article.
No, we haven't.
I wrote the article. I want to get your guys' feedback. You guys ready for this? Let me see. Hold on.
I got a bad feeling about this.
You should. The title of it is, and the, this is in fun.
What?
The title, the whole idea of this. It's always, satire is always going to be a little bit edgy.
Otherwise,
cringy and a little bit of, that hurt
they
a little bit
there.
For some people. And so this does, but I'm trying to be nice at the same time. The title of it is Mike Zero Wins Environmental Award for Recycling Worn Out Star Wars Rumors.
Ouch.
What do you think about that?
It's a little too close to home.
It's pretty real. And of course, it's written like a news article, a real article.
Right,
so here
right.
it goes. So Seattle, Washington.
Oh, okay.
That's where the article is from. The National Association of Environmental Professionals announced today. Oh, wait, I should do this in my radio voice.
Do it. Our podcaster.
Seattle, Washington. The National Association of Environmental Professionals announced today that controversial Star Wars YouTuber Mike Zero will be awarded their Environmental Excellence Award for his unwavering commitment to recycling rumors and theories that have proven old and worn out for years. In an official statement, NAEP spokesman Robert Walkins said, Mr. Zero's relentless commitment to protecting the environment has been proven over and over again. Not a day goes by when he doesn't reach back into the archives to resurrect a story about Luke Skywalker using the Force to pull down a Star Destroyer from orbit, that Rey is the offspring of some major character from the original trilogy, or that Mara Jade and Jar Jar Binks are, in reality, the same person. Rather than fabricating any new stories from thin air, Mr. Zero is content to repackage older videos he's made dozens of times before. The NAEP has concluded that only the most committed environmentalists would be capable of this, and that Mr. Zero is deserving of this prestigious award. The Tatooine Sun attempted to reach Mike Zero for comment, but he was unavailable due to his hectic schedule of uploading a minimum of 437 new YouTube videos per day.
This is madness.
Right? Did we actually reach out to him?
Every word in that sentence was wrong.
No, he didn't. No, of course. Yeah, and the environmentalist. Come on. What do you guys think? First article. Did it feel like one of those articles?
Yeah, it felt right. Okay.
We'll see. Okay. I'm afraid to look at the comments from our Patreon supporters and, right now on Facebook. So don't tell. No, I don't want to talk about them. So anyway.
And I don't want to give him any publicity.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That's a fun thing. I mean, everybody kind of makes fun of right. Mike Zero for those things. So anyway, yeah. So give us your feedback. Go to Twitter. Go to the comments. Go to Facebook and let us know what you guys think. Go to TatooineSons.com. Send us an email. Some of you guys do that all the time. Thanks, guys, for doing that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get emails all the time. Most of the time, they're asking us to plug their product. But anyway, sometimes there's products I don't want to plug. Anyway, we did get a review this week.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
That's like we've had three in a row, I think, almost. Wow. Yeah. So impressive. Most impressive. Well, I mean, this is the title, the five-star title was this.
Impressive. Most impressive.
This is from, I think it's the name is Rishal, but anyway, we'll talk about that why in a second.
Right.
I'm concluded. Rishal 13 from here in the great U.S.
Rachel.
Huh?
Or is it Rachel?
Rachel? It could be. Anyway, from the great old U.S. of A. This is actually a pretty good review. Are you guys ready for this? This has quickly become my go-to Star Wars podcast.
Wow.
That's thanks.
When you realize there's like Steel Wars out there, right? Like,
there's a lot of them out there. Thank you for your insightful content and keeping it fun. I'm a curriculum developer and get to work remotely from home. Yay. Wow, that's a cool idea. I'd love to work remotely from home right now. Anyway, so I listen to podcasts while I work, and now that I've discovered this podcast, I will listen to all available episodes. Wow. There's a lot of them there. 79 plus some others that were special episodes.
Oh, yeah.
So my husband isn't.
Doing this for a while.
It has. My husband isn't into Star Wars. Why did you marry this guy? No, that's okay. I married somebody that wasn't into Star Wars.
Like, Dad.
And I don't regret it. I love you, dear. Now go make me up high. You're awesome. All right. My husband isn't into Star Wars, so it's nice to get this content while he's at work. May the force be with you guys. Hashtag Bendemption.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's good. Give you a little Turbis shout out there. Okay. Well, why don't we, we're 11 minutes into this podcast and we haven't talked about anything yet. So why don't we go ahead and get to this week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it.
What?
All right, so last week's podcast poll of the week was all about that Sith Trooper thing. This is what happens when you mess with your phone during stuff.
Come on, Dad.
Oops. Sorry about that.
Whoop.
Okay. Last week's was about the Sith Trooper. Did you hear that the article or the placard? Did you guys hear about that? The placard?
The what?
The Sith Trooper placard from San Diego Comic Con this week. That they ended up taking down.
Yeah, why? They took it down.
I haven't heard about this.
Oh.
Is this? Why isn't this in the hot takes?
I'm trying to find it. Okay. So anyway, why don't you read a little bit? Hey Sam, why don't you take over the show while I find this?
Okay.
And read about the poll from last week.
Yeah. So our poll from last week was: do you like the idea of the hashtag Sith Trooper? So we had, doesn't show how many votes we got, so never mind.
It was like 158, I think.
Oh, okay. So, at 13%, we had no. All right. At, 30%, we had reserving judgment, which is fair. I can understand that. And then 57% said yes. I've been having a hard time talking today, y'all. I don't know what it is. I've just been having a tough time. Yeah. That's a pretty interesting poll. I was landslide
for yes, because you guys are awesome Star Wars fans.
Like the look of the idea of the Sith trooper. It just looked awesome.
Pretty flipping amazing there.
Yeah, and we got a few comments.
So who's gonna go first?
I guess I'm first.
Go for it, bud.
Michael Condon.
Michael. Michael's the first guy to ever own a Turbis the Pork shirt. He owned a Turbis the Pork shirt before we owned a Turbis the Pork shirt. I put that thing out. I hadn't even ordered it yet, and he had ordered it and had his shirt before we did. And he's awesome. He's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. And his Twitter handle is at Toomedu.
T-O-O-M-E-D-T-O-O. Go.
Okay. I do not believe the Sith are going to return. I think the Sith troopers are Kylo's special army, but the Resistance calls them Sith because they really don't know how to designate Kylo. If so, Lucasfilm Limited gave us what we wanted without spoilers and got the world buzzing.
That's true.
Because we had to have a little something to hold us over.
Yeah. And then he replied to his own tweet later, which I thought was actually called really
after.
Funny. Yeah.
And he said, and to answer your question, which was, do you like the idea of the Sith Trooper? He said, they might be the best thing since Betty White, because she's older than sliced
bread. I see what you did there. That's good.
Yeah, actually, she does predate
sliced bread. She does predate sliced bread. Okay, he's got the – I think I got the next one, right? Mr. Daft Pawn at Mr. Daft Pawn.
Prawn.
Dang it, I did that in the practice, like the prep most. Yeah. That's what Mr. Daft Prawn at Mr. Daft Prawn. I need to do some of that, you know, tongue twisters and stuff.
Enigmatic,
yeah. Sith troopers are an excellent idea. A stormtrooper's lack of lethality, their apparent inability to aim, puts these new troopers in a good place to be truly deadly. I assume they serve as the guards to the Sith, and that would suggest they'll be elite. Cannot wait to find out more. And then he included, and I'm going to link to it in the show notes, but he included some fan art or something that of a Sith trooper, which I thought was just stunning. So check it out. Good job. All right.
Yeah, and then we got a comment from Star Wars Galore at SW Galore.
I think that's probably the SW stands for Star Wars. I'm just going to say.
Impressive. Every word in that sense was wrong.
I'm a fan. The red armor is menacing. The connection to the Sith is interesting. Has to be a connection to Palpatine, right? Plus, it also resembles the Phase 2 clone armor. I'm a sucker for all of it.
Yeah, I think I've the Palpatine thing. Yeah, a lot of people have been talking about it. I'm just going to be honest. Can I say it? I don't see it.
I see.
I've looked for it, and I don't see the connection. But anyway, maybe I just am not a Clone
Wars.
You're
just not creative.
I am, but I think that the key thing for me in this one was that they're talked of this connection to Palpatine. Mm-hmm. It's got to be connection to...
Maybe the clones. I've heard
that. I don't think that's it. So anyway, the placard. Last night, they set up everything, and I guess they had a preview night.
Okay.
At San Diego Comic Con. San Diego Comic Con. And so they had all the trooper display, because you remember it's like the evolution of the trooper is what the display is. We talked about that last week. On last week's episode number 78, which was awesome, by the way. I listened to it like three times because it was so good. And because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Right. Ray likes the sound of his own voice. And mom's listening, watching Murder, She Wrote.
That has nothing to do with Murder, She Wrote. They could probably hear it.
No, they can't. Really. Anyway, all right, so here's what it said. Now, here's what you got to know is some people took photos of this placard last night when they saw it on the preview, and it started going all over social media, and this morning they took the placard down.
Uh-oh. Someone did a mistake.
Somebody getting fired in Lucasfilm.
But the problem is why did they make a placard in the first place?
Because there was somebody that was in charge of this display that came up with this idea and thought it was cool and didn't get the highest people within the organization their permission. Like JJ probably didn't want this information.
Okay, well then what is it?
You guys ready for it?
Yes, I'm ready. I'll be ready.
Keep talking. It is in its ultimate push toward galactic conquest. The First Order readies an army of elite soldiers that draw inspiration and power from a dark and ancient legacy.
He's a Dark and Ancient Legacy. What?
Telling ya. What? I think we got us. We got us.
What
some
if they
Sith.
Just got rid of it just to stir up the buzz and make us think that it's bigger than it really is?
Like, Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker.
So you think JJ's just trolling everybody? That whole placard was like, put it out there and then take it away.
I think that's brilliant.
Just
marketing.
To troll everybody.
No, not troll. Just to bring make it seem bigger than it or not bigger than it actually is. Just really build up the hype for it because, oh, if Lucasfilm didn't want it up there, then that really means it means something. Or I cannot.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. What do you think about the idea of the placard?
The placard. I think it's kind of what we were talking about all of last week.
Because we're smart Star Wars fans.
Yes,
we are.
Yeah.
I don't really think that they're trying to stir up any buzz.
It's hard being as humble as we are.
It really is.
Because, judging by different time points, this was actually... Placard was put up and that picture was taken before the preview night was opened.
Oh, you read about it?
So
they took it out before the preview night? So somebody got a photo, though. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Well, I guess it's time to move on to hot takes. So J.J. Abrams is back behind the camera. Kanye apparently wants people to live on Tatooine.
Oh, I heard about that.
And Disney is betting on first season success for The Mandalorian. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
You know, when we first started this show, we, like, one take wonder was the way we did it.
Yeah, it really was.
Right? Start the recording, go straight through, stop the recording. It's been a long time since we've done a show like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're doing one like that tonight. So
it's fun.
Yeah, it is
a little
fun.
Except for our old YouTube days. Where we had
we're not talking about those days.
We could actually do those now, just because we don't have to set up the backdrop.
Okay. Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker reshoots are happening. Apparently, the reshoots. This is from Wired.com. I'll link to it in the show notes. Apparently, additional shoots are underway for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, with a couple of sources reporting that Black Park in the UK has been closed off for either reshoots or pickups. One of those sources is Jason Ward of Making Star Wars. We're on that network. Just wanted to say that. With an X-Wing fighter being part of the additional shots. Apparently, there's a notice that the shoot might continue through the early September, which feels unexpectedly late considering the movie is scheduled to hit theaters in December. If true, expect some very late nights for editors and the visual effects team, but don't worry about the movie having reshoots this late in the game. These days, such things are common. So let's make a big deal out of something that then would tell you not to make a big deal out of it.
Movies do reshoots all the time.
Absolutely. So this is unlikely to be some kind of Rogue One situation where the entire movie gets significantly changed after the first pass of production.
Solo. I think Solo was worse than that.
Yeah. So Samuel, is this good news, bad news, or no news?
No news.
No news?
Yeah, no.
Why?
Because movies have to do reshoots all the time. They get into the editing room. They're like, oh, this isn't good. This isn't right. Let's just go. We need to film.
We want to add this segment.
Right.
We want to tell the story differently. So we're going to, because when we put this segment in here, it didn't fit. So we need to do it differently in a different section and that kind of thing.
Because it's no Solo.
Didn't bring in, a different director. Or anything.
Well, yeah, but I'm not worried about this at all.
They kind of did.
Well, no, but that would happen before it was written. So anyway, BB Nate, good news, bad news, no news.
No news.
No news.
Just. No,
you're not a big deal. You? It's kind of cool. I mean, to think that they're doing those.
It is kind of late in the game, though.
Yeah,
and September. And I hope they don't have to push back the release date.
They won't push back the release date. Okay. There is no chance that they push back the release date.
They would be so stupid if they push back the release date.
It's the 20th, right? 20th of December?
I think the 19th.
Well, for us, I mean, we're going to be going, on the 10th or something for the red carpet premiere.
No, it actually happens a couple of weeks before. So, probably before December.
Wink, wink. So, anyway.
November.
That's not happening. Have you even contacted anyone about it?
I told you last week on the show that I was going to contact Lucasfilm Publishing.
Did you?
And tell them that there was a specific request that we buried in our episode. And I did. I contacted two of the Lucasfilm Publishing.
Did they even?
Not publishing. Lucasfilm publicists.
Did they do anything?
No, they hadn't responded yet because they're just going to put us on the invitation list. Oh. Anyway, hold on. This one's probably appropriate.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right. Kanye West, Mr. Kim Kardashian, investing in Star Wars-themed low-income housing.
Can I qualify?
I know. My God. Housing That's Wire. Horrible, but if things keep going the way that they are with my work, we may need it. Anyway, no.
And if you'd like to support us on Patreon,
you can go to our website and check it out. Okay. Thehousingwire.com is where the link is on that. Now that he's got the sneaker market thoroughly cornered, do you guys know Kanye West sells sneakers?
He does.
You guys even know who Kanye West is?
I vaguely know who he is, yeah.
He's a GIF. That's what I mean, I know about beyond that, but every time I think of him, I think of that GIF of Kanye sitting there just shaking his head like.
Oh.
Anyway, now that he's got a sneaker market thoroughly cornered, Kanye West is apparently moving on to his next project, affordable housing. What a good guy.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, anyway. A recent profile of the rapper turned designer revealed that West is working on designing prefabricated low-income housing with a Star Wars aesthetic, shopping the idea to investors as a potential housing solution for the homeless. Do you think he's serious about this? And if it is, BB Nate, is this a good idea?
If he is serious, yes, it is a great idea. It's an amazing idea. But why Star Wars for the homeless? Why not just like a regular old?
Well, he's basing it off of like, you know, Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen's hovel.
I know, but why that?
Because it's easy. It's concrete.
It's just a dome.
You just create it and you can dig it into the ground. And the ground keeps things insulated. Yeah. And it's actually a really brilliant design.
Yeah, but the only problem is this is going to backfire because people who aren't homeless are going to want to live in these homes. I want to live in this home.
What if they create like a whole Tatooine-themed village?
They have a hotel, don't they?
Well, that's the one in Tunisia where they shot it. But you can actually sleep in the place.
Yeah. Money.
But no, I'm talking about like a whole Tatooine-themed village in somewhere in the desert of California. What would you think about that?
That would be beautiful.
It's like Galaxy's Edge, but for real.
It would be very warm.
That's Tatooine.
Interesting.
They got to figure out how to put another sun up there, though.
Just a second sun? Just yeah. You really think that that's part of the game?
They'll have to just put a giant dome over the area with like an electronic sun or something. Because it's just not Tatooine without two suns.
Okay. Jon Favreau is already working on The Mandalorian Season 2. The source, I don't know why I picked this one, but I did. Winteriscoming.net.
Isn't that a
After it was 94 reference? Degrees today here in Colorado, winter could come. That'd be fun.
Global warming.
I think that's a Game of Thrones reference.
Anyway, yeah, it might be. When Disney's streaming service Disney Plus goes live in November, the very first live-action Star Wars television series will make its debut. Yes!
Okay. So excited.
Yeah. The show was called – it's funny. I have some – you know, everybody at work knows I'm a super Star Wars fan, right?
Super Star Wars
fan. Super, super Star Wars fan. I had somebody come up to me at work yesterday and be like, hey, did you hear that guy that's making the Lion King movie is like going to be doing a Star Wars show? I heard it's set like 1,000 years before the movies, and I'm like, dude, please.
We were at the panel.
I'm like, it wasn't an intentional unloading, and it was very kind and respectful. It was like, oh no, it was like an excited unloading. You're like, oh no, it's this, and I started going through and explaining it all to him, and he kind of looked like, whoa,
really insane.
You freaking me out, dude. Anyway,
slow down.
Yeah. Anyway, the show is called The Mandalorian. It's a story set after the fall of the Galactic Empire between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. Former Game of Thrones star, I don't know why I said it that way. Pedro Pascal will be who played Oberyn Martell in the Game of Thrones, which is probably right. Winter's Coming is that site.
So, yeah.
Is playing the titular role as a gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy.
Titular?
Yeah, that's the word. Recently, creator. Okay, recently creator, writer, and executive producer of The Mandalorian, Jon Favreau, famous for Iron Man, The Lion King, and a bunch of other stuff. Rudy. Come on, guys. Jon Favreau was in Rudy. He played the fat, like, dumb, lumpy friend.
I don't remember.
He also did Jungle Book.
Yeah, we know that. But you guys don't remember that? He was in Rudy?
I see that movie once.
Oh, man, we got to change that. All right. Was a guest on Jimmy Kimmel Live and confirmed season one was finished and that he was moving on to the next project. It's going to be on Disney Plus coming up in the fall, and we're done with the first season.
Huh? Okay.
And I'm actually writing part of the second season now, so I'm having a blast. So while this isn't a surprise, what do you guys think about this? Is this premature?
No.
Disney's confident this is going to do well.
They're banking it.
They're confident that the streaming service is going to do
well. Well, they know the streaming service is going to do well.
Exactly.
Even for non-Star Wars fans, this is going
to
do
great.
You
don't have to pay per episode. So they're just going to bet on the streaming service doing well and put their money in the most...
Well, if people are watching the show, what's the point of having it on there and spending money on filming it? You know what I mean?
I think it's going to be worth it.
I'm feeling like I'm having a little bit of deja vu, though. Because these are the same kinds of discussions that we were having about Rian Johnson before The Last Jedi came out. Well, Last Jedi hadn't been released, and he's getting a whole new trilogy they announced, and we're like, oh my gosh, and for us, The Last Jedi was exactly what we anticipated it would be. It was amazing.
Better.
But folks, some people didn't like The Last Jedi. I don't know if you can check that out. I think they're welcome to their opinion, but they can be wrong. So I kind of feel like, you know, that they would be careful about doing that again at this point. So what do you guys think that this means? Do you think that
they've already had some pre-screenings of The Mandalorian.
With who? I don't know. When has this happened?
Maybe some private screening.
Oh, well, like with Lucasfilm staff and stuff. And producers and other people.
Reacts,
with the panel, that was a pretty good reaction.
That was an amazing
reaction. Yeah, but the people were reacting really well to the Last Jedi trailers, too. I mean,
good point. But we did get, like, lots of behind-the-scenes footage, too.
We did.
Like, uncut footage of the film,
scene.
That's what I'm saying.
We did. That was a good scene.
Like, full-on production stuff. I feel like Disney would have learned from The Last Jedi. I don't think they're worried about it. I think it's going to do great. I'm excited. I'm going to watch it. I don't care.
I'm pretty excited about it.
I mean, I need some more Star Wars, please.
I know it's going to. And what's cool? I mean, I know we've talked about this on the show before, but can you imagine what's going to happen in about 3 months? Season 2 Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Clone Wars Season 6.
7.
It's 6.
Yeah.
It was confirmed 7.
It's 7. Whatever. You're right. It is 7. You're right. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Clone Wars Season 7, and then The Mandalorian.
Yep.
And then we get all of the journey to the Rise of Skywalker content, the novels and comics and things.
And then
all of a sudden, the biggest movie of, like, I don't know. It's a big movie.
Of the past 40 years.
As far as if you're a Star Wars fan, this is a big deal. With it. What's also cool is, I'll just tease this real quick. We are in contact with someone that is associated with this little production known as The Mandalorian. And that individual is already slated to be a guest on the show in the fall.
You didn't know that?
After the series premieres, we have a guest.
Yeah, I remember.
Is it going to be?
I remember the guy.
Spoil it.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering. Is it going to be episodic?
Did you guys hear they spent $15 million an episode for that movie?
An
episode. Yeah.
And then we get all the other.
Well, I mean, John Favreau said he wanted it to feel like a movie.
Well,
I mean, you saw like the sound special effects reels and stuff that they were showing, like how they did the whatever the thing
stop
is
motion.
Called. What was it called? Ravenclaw? No, that's not it. What was this ship called?
I don't remember. Anyway.
Razor Crest. That's it.
That's it.
Like they were flying the Razor Crest and stuff. I mean, doesn't surprise me they spent so much.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay.
Mini
rant done.
Why don't we get to our main topic of the day? So Grand Admiral Thrawn is back. And this time, he's forced to solve a problem that Director Krennic is having with Project Stardust.
Oh, he's having a problem.
But his old protege, Eli Vanto, brings news of a crisis facing the Chiss Ascendancy. Will Thrawn betray the Empire in response? Join us for our preview of Thrawn Treason.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
going to go straight to the source again this week with from StarWars.com. Grand Admiral Thrawn faces the ultimate – this is directly from their website because it's just easier to tell the story that they tell. Anyway, Grand Admiral Thrawn faces the ultimate test of his loyalty to the Empire in this epic Star Wars novel from bestselling author Timothy Zahn. If I were to serve – I can't do him.
Yeah, don't try it.
So we were playing Heads Up today at work. So sometimes we like stop what we're doing and we play like a stupid game to kind of change the because it gets like you get like repetitive over and over again. I know that sounds weird, but it's what we have to do. It's about we have to, like, maintaining our status. Yeah, it's Heads Up. Yeah. So you put the phone up there, but they did one that was all impressions.
Oh.
And I was just rocking it, guys.
Really?
I rocked it today, but I cannot do Grand Admiral Thrawn. Anyway.
His voice is so unique.
If I were to serve the Empire. You would command my allegiance. That's close enough for today. All right. Such was the promise Grand Admiral Thrawn made to Emperor Palpatine at their first meeting. I remember that scene, reading it, and being like, holy cow. This is Thrawn. That's in the very first Thrawn book.
Yeah, it's in the comic. I never read the comic.
Since then, Thrawn has been one of the Empire's most effective instruments, pursuing its enemies to the very edges of the known galaxy.
He loses!
But as a keen a weapon as Thrawn has become, the Emperor dreams of something far more destructive. Now, as Thrawn's TIE Defender program is halted in favor of Director Krennic's secret Death Star project, he realizes that the balance of power in the Empire is measured by more than just military acumen or tactical efficiency. Even the greatest intellect can hardly compete with the power to annihilate entire planets. I think Vader said something like that once. Oh, no, it was the guy talking to Vader. The guy that was talking to Vader. He's like...
Vader was like the ability to destroy planets is insignificant
to the power of the that's force, true.
Or the dark
true. Power. Very good. Even the greatest intellect can hardly... Okay, I just read that. As Thrawn works to secure his place in the Imperial hierarchy, his former protege, Ilai Vanto, returns with a dire warning about Thrawn's homeworld. Thrawn's mastery of strategy must guide him through an impossible choice. Duty to the Chiss ascendancy or fealty to the Empire he has sworn to serve. Even the right choice means committing treason.
Oh, whoa!
What do you think so far? What, like, first thoughts on the idea of Thrawn treason? Go. You think about it. You go.
Sounds like he's in a bit of a pickle, but I think we know which one he ultimately decides.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that.
Unless
he
finds a way to do both and then not figure out because he is Thrawn.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what you're referring to there, Sam, for the listeners, is this. We know he returns to command with the Empire.
Yeah, he's
at the Siege of Lothal. In the final episodes of Star Wars Rebels. So that's happening literally like days, I think, after this is over, from what I understand.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So we know his loyalty to the Empire is going to prove true, at least from the Empire's or the Emperor's perspective, you would think. But what do you think about this general premise? Do you think that kind of defeats the purpose of the book and makes it a little anticlimactic because we know that he's going to get through this? How do you call a novel Thrawn Treason when you basically can assume that he's not committing treason?
Maybe not. Maybe. No, I don't think so. But I had this wild idea that maybe. No, because then. I don't know.
Okay, you haven't said anything for the last
time. I know. I haven't finished a sentence. Maybe Thrawn somehow knew the Rebels' plan. I don't know how, but maybe that's explained. And he knew that he wasn't going to be able to effectively get out of the Empire without them hunting him down. But he felt most loyal to the Chiss, so he realized that...
What Rebels' plan are you talking about?
In the final season. Or in the final episode.
So he's like, let that go and do its own thing while I go deal with this?
No. He's like, he used that as his plan to escape the Empire.
So, okay...
Because he knew he wouldn't be able to just defect or just go to the
So you think that death. Maybe what we see at the end of Star Wars Rebels, the Emperor and the leadership of the Empire have not fully come been made aware of the treason that Thrawn has committed at this point. And he's using this situation to, I think that would be pretty, that would be a, I don't know. I mean, it's Thrawn.
I know.
And he's pretty smart dude.
I know.
But I don't know. What do you think about that? Do you understand what he's at, what he's saying here? What do you think about that, BB Nate?
I think that you're right. It is Thrawn, and he'll definitely try to do it, and he'll succeed because he always succeeds. And that's the only reason he really probably lost.
No, he didn't even lose at that point. He would have just, that would have all gone according to plan.
So what would that mean for the rest of the next part of?
You're saying that the whole hyperspace whale thing.
He knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
How?
He attacked. He had calculated. He's like we've talked about before when we talked about Thrawn. Thrawn is playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. Right? Thrawn is seeing so many more pieces. That's the one thing about Thrawn in the Thrawn novels, that these new canon novels, that is like really clear is Thrawn is like 7, 8, 9, 10 steps ahead of everybody else and everything else that's going on.
Just goes to show like how amazing a writer Timothy Zahn is.
Oh yeah, he's phenomenal. And so what he's suggesting is that Thrawn has played out the scenario of the Siege of Lothal and what's going to happen later on at the end with this is his chance to escape with this scenario. That's what Sam is suggesting.
He's using it to fake his own death in a way.
So
yeah,
he knows where he's going, or does he?
Or he knows he's getting out through this,
right? He can figure out from there. Maybe he doesn't know exactly the very end step, but he knows, okay, this will make it seem like I'm gone, and I know how to where to go from here. He's got
a
general plan down.
So what do you think about that idea as a concept, Sam, or BB Nate?
I think that'd be a really good concept, and I feel like Timothy Collins an amazing enough writer to be able to pull it off.
Boy, it's got so many pitfalls and things that could happen though, because you've got to get continuity stuff so perfect to sell this idea.
Well, you can just weave it through. You don't see a whole lot of Thrawn.
No, in there. Now I want to watch season 4 of Rebels.
But again, would that mean that Thrawn is a rebel?
At this point?
Yes.
Yeah, or what does that mean going forward? Is he with the Chiss? Is that where Ezra is? I don't know.
All right, let's talk about in episode 9.
Well, there's already Ezra. Been talk about that. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Or Ezra starts showing up in 9?
And Thrawn.
Maybe they're on Batuu. Anyway.
Maybe.
Thrawn knows about Batuu. He's been there twice. Anyway. Excerpt 1, they gave it a few weeks ago, StarWars.com, and we'll again link to it in the show notes. Had an excerpt of sort of this opening sequence in the novel where Tarkin and Thrawn and Director Krennic from Rogue One are meeting on a Star Destroyer with the Grand Admiral that's on there, and I can't remember his name. It's insignificant to the story.
It was a she, but yeah, I know you're talking about
them. Anyway.
Go on.
No, you're thinking of the next scene. Anyway, they're meeting on this one, and Palpatine's hologram comes up, and Palpatine basically is dealing with this challenge that's going on with Project Stardust. Samuel, explain, in case people maybe are newer to the Star Wars world and not as obsessed with it as a couple of people sitting around this desk or this table are, three of us, what Project Stardust is and how that works into this.
So Project Stardust is the code name for the Death Star project, and that's explained in Rogue One. Long story short, the designer for how the Death Star works named it after the nickname of his daughter.
Jyn Erso.
Right, from Rogue One. He named Stardust. So that's where the name comes from. And Director Krennic is in charge of that whole project.
Yeah, so BB Nate, why don't you help us understand a little bit better how what's going on in this sequence. Like, why is the Project Stardust. Do you remember why Project Stardust is?
No.
Okay. So Project Stardust is having, as Krennic would put it, a minor nuisance, but it's really not. where these, I forget exactly what they're called, but they're basically like Minox on steroids. If you don't know what a Minox is, it's in episode 5 when they're inside the space.
It's a power sucker.
They're vacuum breathing life forms that chew on power cables and feed off of energy. And the
Sam just described Minox more detailed than I've ever heard in my life. How do you know that?
I just know that. It was also explained in this.
Explain that.
Okay. That too, and it was a little bit explained in this. But
okay.
Basically, the Death Star project is being attacked by...
well, it's the supplies that are getting attacked. Ships with the supplies.
Somehow, the Death Star project is being affected by these... I think they're Gynox or something. They're like...
They're huge.
Huge versions of
them.
Yeah,
that was also in the...
They're a lot harder to deal with. They're a lot tougher. And critics says that it's just a minor nuisance, but the Stardust project has been set back, or one of the aspects, I think it was like the turrets and stuff, has been set back a couple of weeks.
Yeah, 2-3 weeks at this point, yeah. And it's going to be longer. And so Tarkin, or Krennic, is suggesting that they divert funding away from Thrawn's TIE Defender
project
to help offset the delays and speed things up with this. And so so let's just talk about why Palpatine is even having this conversation in this. Why do you think that Palpatine is bringing Tarkin, who absolutely despises Krennic?
And Krennic absolutely despises Tarkin.
And then you have Thrawn, who probably doesn't trust either one of them and is without a doubt the smartest person in the room.
Including Palpatine?
I'm not going there yet. On that.
After episode 9. We'll,
yeah, exactly. We'll but anyway, they're all sitting in the room. I think Palpatine's sitting there. This whole scenario is like Palpatine putting the animals in a cage to see what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with that. What do you think Palpatine is trying to accomplish through this scenario?
I think annoyance.
Annoyance?
Just playing with them. Just to get them to start working again. I feel like Palpatine thinks it's more Krennic's fault that those things are attacking the shipments. I feel like he's like, you can do multiple things to fend off these things, yet you're just standing around, going to Vader, telling on Tarkin. And Tarkin and Thrawn kind of got along a little bit better than...
Yeah, I mean, Tarkin expresses significant
respect
for Thrawn in the Rebels movies.
The Rebels series.
Yeah, the Rebels series.
A little bit in the Alliance.
Yeah, when Price can't deal with the Rebels, Tarkin is the one that brings in Thrawn because he believes Thrawn can do it. So...
I'm having a hard time trying to figure out why they're all together. I mean, obviously, it's to deal with the problem of the Death Star problem.
Yeah, that's the official reason that they're meeting together. Right. But I've got this feeling that Palpatine is wanting to kind of see where people are. I think he's never fully trusted. I mean, the name of the novel is Thrawn Treason. If you recall what happens in Thrawn Alliances, that phrase about treason is used by Vader towards Thrawn often with it. So imagine they get back from all that stuff on Batuu, and Vader is now telling Sidious about he doesn't trust Thrawn. And this is why. You know, all of these different things are being laid out with it. And then we'll talk about it in a minute, but Skywalkers and everything else are going on.
Yeah.
And so now I think Palpatine is trying to figure out if he could trust Thrawn. I think he's ready to see. I think Krennic he sees as this useful idiot he's trying to use to finish up this Project Stardust thing with it. And so what he wants to do is he wants to test Thrawn's alliances with by having him work with Krennic, and then at the same time get this project taken care of. I think that's kind of the main beginning of this. But then it changes, right? Go ahead.
And Vader's probably like, I'm done helping Krennic. Because he did it.
Krennic or?
Krennic.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm done. Because he did it in the Dark Lord of the Sith comic. He just fought off a bunch of Geonosians because Krennic was like, I don't really want to do it. And so, and Vader just came in and fixed the problem.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. But then the next excerpt sort of sets up the primary like shift in the storyline with it, which is this moment when Eli Vanto learns of some type of an emergency with the Chiss Ascendancy. Do you guys kind of remember how things ended with Eli Vanto at the end of the first novel?
Yeah, he was barely mentioned in the second one, but in the first one, he was sent off to work with the Chiss Ascendancy, right? On one of their ships.
Yeah. So, but what's amazing is he gets there, he arrives, right? Like, he arrives in Chiss space, and this Admiral Aralani, this Chiss Admiral, the first things she says when she sees him is, "Are you the one?"
Okay.
Which is like,
he's Thrawn?
No, she doesn't. No, apparently Thrawn had planned. This goes back to what you're talking about with the season four of Rebels. Mm. This whole thing has been planned out. Thrawn was going to go. He's going to become the Empire. He was going to move up there, and eventually he was going to develop and train somebody and send them back. Because when Admiral Aralani sees Eli Vanto, she says, "Are you the one?"
Mm.
Or he's let them know at least that someone is coming at this point, and he's working with them. Why do you think Thrawn sent Eli Vanto back to the Chiss Ascendancy?
Well, I feel like he sees great potential in him, but since Thrawn's smart and he's always got a plan, I feel like he realizes I need someone to help me out when I'm going to need it the most. Like, he realizes that he's eventually not going to be able to keep this up any longer. And he can trust Eli to get him out. He's trained him for this purpose.
Yeah. And I don't think he like fully trusts anybody.
No.
Like, anyone. But no. I think he trusts Eli Vanto the most out of anybody. And going back to what you're talking about, and I'm wondering, how is Thrawn going to get back to the Chiss? And any way, shape, or form, how is he going to get back to them to help them out? And I'm like, what if he uses Eli Vanto? What if he has a ship? Eli Vanto is on a ship, Star Destroyer or something like that, and he contacts them when they finally land back to wherever they are, and they use Skywalkers to get back to the Chiss.
I figured, because
they navigate star systems.
Why couldn't Thrawn use Ezra?
Yeah, we've talked about that idea, you know, and I've even said, so if Thrawn uses Ezra Bridger, teaches Ezra Bridger, I think somebody brought this up.
I think Ezra, you did, Sam.
No. They're going to have to develop trust. Well. But if Thrawn somehow is able to teach Ezra Bridger how to use the Force to navigate hyperspace lanes, does that make Ezra Bridger a Skywalker?
Yes. Well, in theory, Chiss logic and Chiss terms,
I think it's an interesting
That's how one. Thrawn would.
But yeah, perceiving man. And that's what it is.
Ezra confirmed Skywalker.
There we go. Yeah, start the rumor.
He's a Skywalker.
Start the rumor here.
Gotta send Mike Zero some content.
Yeah, well, yeah. No.
He has enough
work. Probably, yeah, he's got enough to do. He's got to recycle those videos. Let's speculate a little bit. Because we don't know much more about what's going to go. Speculate. Go up, BB Nate. Who's Thrawn committing treason against?
Well, we already kind of explained.
No, who do you think?
I think the Empire. Like Sam's idea. I think it is very well put together enough for it to be a real thing.
It's like a plausible theory. Yes,
a very plausible.
Good job, Sam. What do you think? Is he committing treason against who's that going to be against?
I feel like the Empire. I just like the idea that Thrawn, in his own twisted way, has kind of always been a good guy. Like, I mean, he did some pretty messed up stuff to the Rebels, let's be honest, but it's all part of his plan, you know, his master game. And I would just love that idea that in the end he had this grand master plan from when he was captured to when he left. I feel like that would be the ultimate Thrawn. Anyway.
All right, so Sam, I'll come back to you. Would we see the Grisk in Thrawn treason?
I'm real fuzzy on
the Grisk are the enemy of the Chiss that
they like swarm.
Yeah.
Or was that the legend? I thought the swarming was a legend. Like they're
massive. Yeah. Anyway, it's those guys.
Do we see them? Yeah, I think so. I don't think you can have the Chiss without having something to do.
They're a great enemy.
Yeah.
If it's all about the Chiss having problems, I think yes. I think
the Grisk are a big part of it. Why introduce the Grisk in the last novel?
Yes, right. And then especially the end of the last novel.
Yeah.
BB Nate, will Skywalkers play a role in this story?
Maybe. I don't know. It's still up in the arms because Ezra could be navigating through the star system, but so can the Chiss, because why would they introduce that? And again, not do anything with it in any of the books, maybe coming into the movies later.
You want to have one of those crazy moments where you just come up with something stupid to say because it pops into your head and you don't have a chance to think it through.
Yeah.
What if somehow Rey is a descendant of those Skywalkers? So then she's a Skywalker, but not a Skywalker?
There's Chiss, though.
See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you think about these things as they come out.
She's not blue.
She's not blue. Yeah. Okay.
Do I think the
Skywalkers, think so. Will they play a role?
Yeah, I mean, they were mentioned in the Eli Vantu and Admiral Arulani excerpt. They were talked about.
Yeah.
In one of the chicks, I don't remember if it was Arulani or not, she regained, or she's kept her ability for longer than most. It's fading, but she's kept it for longer than most. I don't remember if it was Arulani or not, but one of the Chiss.
That's interesting.
So, yes.
Will this be the last that we see of the Chiss and the Eli Vantu? Will this novel be the end of that whole side of the Star Wars universe? That we won't hear any more about it?
The Thrawn kind of trilogy?
Well, the Thrawn trilogy ends. We don't hear any more about Chiss and the Eli Vantu. What do you think?
I don't know. I feel like a lot. It's a big cash cow for the book side. It's huge.
They've been controversial books. There have been people that just didn't like them.
But they're huge for most people. I think they end it here because I think quit while you're ahead.
Mm. I feel like they set up my theory because it's an amazing theory.
It is an amazing theory.
and they end it.
Email some more posts.
I might change the title of the episode to Is Thrawn.
Well, we got a thing. So you said that this ends days before.
My understanding is it ends just almost immediately before he returns at the end of season 4 of Season of Rebels.
We see him setting up these little things throughout, and then there's like an epilogue or something that finishes, that just explains what happens afterward, do you think?
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
Probably. Anyway,
do we think it's the last? No. I feel like maybe Eli Vantu, but the Chiss, they're such an interesting race, and we know like nothing
about
them.
They were introduced in Rebels. And then you're like, who are these people?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
they have stories.
We have known hardly anything about them. There's a lot of content there that could be made for books or TV. So, yeah, no, I don't think we're done with the Chiss.
Okay. Well, Thrawn Treason is going to be released next week, July 23rd. And shameless plug moment, you can purchase it through our website.
Bless you.
It was a nice sneeze.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can support family-friendly Star Wars content by purchasing the book in whatever format you want. Audiobook. You can pay $50 for the CD version. I didn't even know they still made CD versions.
$50?
Can you believe that?
Why would you do that?
I don't know. Kindle version, hardback version, Audible version, or the CD version. You can go to TatooineSons.com. It's going to be the same price if you go through our link on that page. To purchase this, it's going to be the same price as if you went straight to Amazon.com. But we're going to get a little bit of a kickback. It's going to help support family-friendly Star Wars content and our podcast. And we would be greatly indebted to you if you would consider doing that. So, all right, guys. Anything else you want to talk about?
Anything else?
Well, a Diego Luna Rogue One series will explore many layers of Cassian Andor.
Yeah, so he's like saying that we're going to have many layers of that. He's like an onion. He's like Shrek.
Ogres are like
Or is he
onions.
A parfait? Because parfaits, yeah, everybody likes a good parfait. Yeah, anyway.
Everybody likes Shrek.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
I think that'll be interesting. He's a pretty interesting character. He's done some pretty crazy stuff for mine.
I can't wait.
Nor can I. Right. Is that coming out?
No, not for like a year.
Stranger Things star Gaten Matarazzo, I just butchered that. That's Dustin from Stranger Things, if you don't know. Reveals the Star Wars character he wants to play. Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I don't think that's happening, but it's cute.
It's cool. He's a huge Star Wars fan, dude. He is a major.
That's cool.
We should see if we can get him on our show.
Oh, that would be fun.
I'm gonna make that effort. I mean, I know that that's a crazy, like, you know, Hail Mary type dream type thing, but he's a kid and this is a kid show.
Yeah.
He's literally in between the age of you and I, Sam.
That would be pretty cool.
You really,
if anybody listening to this has ever got any contacts with, Gaten Matarazzo.
If he does get on our show, we got to learn how to pronounce his name.
That's true.
I'm serious, though. You should.
I am. I'm going to try to do that. We'll see if we can talk to him. We'll do our 10 questions stuff with him. I think that would be fun. Yeah, anyway. And Daisy Ridley says she wishes fan reactions to Star Wars weren't so vicious.
What does she mean, positive and negative?
No, I think just vicious.
Gosh.
People are ugly when it comes to Star Wars sometimes. Don't do that. Don't give it to the dark side, guys. Be nice, even if you don't. There have been things
you can give them
about Star Wars that I don't like. Decisions that they've made that I didn't agree with. And my own sons are like, what? It's not because I'm a shill. I'm not getting paid from Disney. I just don't feel like I need to emphasize the negative.
Yeah.
Right? So let's focus on what's good and stop being so mean. All right.
Yeah. There can be some pretty crazy positive reactions, like really.
Oh, the chirpers and the pork thing, you know? I mean, that's pretty basic. So, yeah, this week's podcast poll of the week. I'm going to get your guys' thoughts on Thrawn. You know, Thrawn's not just a modern canon story. He was probably the most popular and infamous character from the Legends side of things. So, which Thrawn is better? Canon, Legends, Waiting for Treason? Wanted to find out how that goes, or other comment below. What would you know? You guys haven't read Heir to the Empire, have you?
Yeah, no, I can't read.
I read all three of those. The original Thrawn trilogy.
Okay. And what would you say?
It was freaking amazing.
It was.
Oh, it's worth a read, guys. It really is. If you see it somewhere, you know, at the bookstore, library, or whatever, it really is worth a read. I think you're
which bookstore do I buy it?
I'm going to fall into that Waiting for Treason category. Really? I want to see how this story ends up.
You're not even sold from Rebels.
He's the same character, but also very different. You know, I mean, there's elements of him that are very, very similar to it, but and it's a very different story. With it, I mean, you get your Heir to the Empire and the Thrawn trilogy from all that. That's like got Han, Leia, Chewie, Luke, all of them, and that's a pretty special trilogy as a result of it. That was the first Legends or expanded universe at the time. Thing that I had ever read.
I think the first thing EU thing that we ever got into was the Clone Wars Cartoon Network series.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think that was our first introduction.
Which is why it's got a special place. Yeah.
So that's our poll this week. Which Thrawn is better, Canon Legends, Waiting for Treason, or other comment below? So make sure you go to Twitter and get in on that poll. We'd appreciate that. I think that's going to do it for this week. We want to thank all of our amazing Patreon supporters. You guys are truly awesome, and we appreciate you tremendously. Our producers, DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, and Ian Thompson. Of course, our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers, Judith Jesse, Hi Grammy, and Roberto Moreno. Did I say it basically the same as this last week?
No, I think you just said it last week, but I like it when you said
it. You like it when I do it this way? Roberto Moreno.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah. Anyway, if you want to support family-friendly podcasting and content and maybe even this whole crazy idea of the Tatooine Sun satire site, then go to patreon.com/TatooineSons, S-O-N-S, and look at our stuff there. And hey, just go for it, man. Don't none of the, you know, we love you guys that are our $1, $2, $3, $5 pledge supporters. But if you're new and you want to become a supporter, man, just go for it. Go for the sticker of the month club, $10 a month. You get a sticker every single month that's specific to our show. And we'd appreciate that. We're all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Tatooine Sons. Don't do anything on Snapchat because I don't understand
and
how Snapchat works.
Go on Twitter if he even has an account. And contact Gaten Matarazzo.
Hey, I'm going to.
No, not you. I'm talking to our fans.
Okay. And then just another thing, guys. If you're listening, if you've made it all the way to the very end of this show.
Congratulations.
All an hour and 2 minutes so far, which is pretty good. It's a short show for us, guys. If you've made it all the way to the end of this show, then we would ask you to do one more thing before you finish up and move on to the rest of your life, which is so much more important than this podcast. But switch on over to iTunes or Spotify, whichever one you're on. And, man, give us a shout-out. Give us a 5-star review and rating. We will truly appreciate that. It means the world to us. It helps other people find the show. If you like this show and you want a show that's got some kids on it that are talking Star Wars and a dad that gets to spend time with his kids every week talking about it and you can listen to with your family and with your kids, take a second to go on and give us a review. And if you have already done that, thank you. And, man, get on your social media circle of influence and ask a couple other people to do it, man. If we could get 5 to 10 reviews this week, we would get bumped up into like a different level when it comes to what Apple does when it promotes podcasts, and a lot more people would find us. And it would
I
mean,
could just go in and make a bunch of different accounts.
I want real, and, real ones.
So. And spam Lucasfilm publicists to
Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. All right, I guess that's going to do it for this week. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. 8.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.